This is actually from my actual podcast. So the last one that we did, that went out to all of my PBIC members, do you know what I mean? This one's going to go like out and about and about. So I don't mind covering a similar kind of stuff to what we did last time, really, you know what I mean?
I can't remember exactly what we did.
Are you guys all right, though?
Yeah, it's been really busy, you know, with all the COVID, the furlough claims, and the some people have their business disappeared overnight. So
imagine,
we've been working. Alison had just said she was going to reduce her hours a bit, and then we had to increase them for all the furlough.
Really,
work.
Jesus.
Yeah. I know. So bless her, she ended up working more hours rather than less. But yeah, we've managed all right because you know we're already digital.
Yes.
So we just had to buy a few extra screens, and two people needed a chair, a proper chair. Uh-huh. It's like the dining room chair doesn't really cut it.
No.
It's in there for a few hours. Well, I'm downstairs, so I can look out onto the lawn because my office upstairs just looks out onto the street. So I actually brought my chair downstairs. So I'm sitting in a nice wheel, but I've not been doing wheelies. I've been just sitting properly, but I'm at the dining room table, and it's like Star Trek. I've got two big massive screens and then my laptop, because my laptop's got the camera on.
Brilliant. Right, so
you've been out walking dogs and things, so you've been getting plenty of exercise and fresh air.
Yeah. I've been trying. I fell right off the wagon with my exercise.
Did you?
I was doing great.
So did I.
I was going to the gym 3 times a week and that and everything, you know, for about 18 months. And then as soon as lockdown, I did nothing for about 3 months.
Ruined.
Start back up again anyway, back out on the bike. I've been trying to do a few weights in the house, mainly going out on my bike, but I'm a fair weather cyclist. So.
Me too, Dom, me too. I went out Monday and Tuesday. Uh-huh. I'm not being out today because it's raining.
Oh, no, me neither. Nah, I know. I'm like, oh God, I'll be back out again in March now.
I think I might fall off. So I don't ride in the rain. My excuse anyway, and I'm sticking to it.
Brilliant. Right, I'll do a little introduction then, and then we'll just dive in, yeah?
Okay, yeah, lovely.
Nice and free and easy.
Just chat.
Lovely, right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Poodle to Pitbull Pet Business Podcast. I'm your host, Dom Hodgson, the Pet Biz Whiz, and I'm joined by, today, a very, very, very special guest is joining me via a Zoom link, and it is my accountant, Lorraine. Say hello, Lorraine.
Hi, everybody. Yes, I'm Lorraine. I am an accountant, but please don't hold that against me.
We won't. So, Lorraine, very quickly, tell us, like, in full, who you are, you know, what the business is, what you do, what kind of businesses you deal with.
Yeah, my name's Lorraine Ellison. I run an accountancy business called Simply Additions Limited. Based in Houghtonley Spring, which, Dom, I know you're worldwide, so it's between Sunderland and Durham in the northeast of England.
That's right. And how long have you been going? How many clients have you got?
Well, I think it's about 14 years, but really, I can only say I've really got the hang of it in the last couple of years, because, you know, it takes a while to learn some of the lessons. there's 8 of us in the team. And we vary in hours. So one guy works 2 hours and most people work about 30. But it fits around, it's flexible. Mm-hmm. So it fits around home life. People have got dogs, children, elderly parents to look after. So it's all of that, you know, fitting around your life rather than your life fitting around work.
Brilliant. Yeah, no, and this is something we'll touch upon this later on, because I want to ask if that was intentional or by accident, but let's go back in time a little bit first, Lorraine. Uh-huh. Tell us, and then we'll talk in a minute as well about how I met you and stuff and how you became my accountant. But what, and all of the wonderful things that you've helped me to do as well with the business. But what were you into growing up and stuff? You didn't dream of being an accountant, surely?
Oh, absolutely not. No, I wanted to be a teacher until I went to Red House Comprehensive.
Nothing against Red House here, by the way. Other comprehensives are available.
Well, I decided I didn't really like children, and I certainly didn't want to teach them. They were too unruly, and they weren't all well-behaved like I was, because I was like little swat and well-behaved. I was like little angel. So I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I just thought, oh, well, I'll learn some skills. I was quite good at maths. So that's how I ended up becoming an accountant by accident. But I tried to do office work. So stuff like I learned how to do shorthand, but me and Lynn were always bottom of the class. We couldn't get the hang of shorthand. So although I thought I was going to work in an office, I ended up getting a job as a trainee accountant. And the guy I worked for, actually, it was, you'll know who the company is because it was Ibbotson's, the butchers.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And it was in head office at Tallbar Road, mm-hmm. Leachmere. And I was just a trainee accountant, but I didn't have two A-levels, so I had to go to college to do a BTEC in finance before I could start the accountancy qualification. Mm-hmm. And then I kept failing level three exams because they were a bit tough. They had law in them and tax, which I wasn't really good at tax then. So the story is it took me 24 exams to get through level four.
Wow, good laws.
I know. I just didn't give up. You had to sit four exams at the same time and you had to pass all four. Uh-huh. And on the fifth attempt, I passed three and failed one ever so slightly. And they made me sit the whole four again. Anyway, I got there. And then the next year, I did my homework every Saturday morning. And so I got through first time on that one.
Not something that you were particularly, I don't know, were you or not, particularly blessed numbers-wise then? Is this...
Not, no, because the truth of it is I can't add up. Every meeting, and honestly, Dom, it's crazy, isn't it? But every meeting I went into, I always took my calculator because I couldn't add up. But I'm really good at formulas, yeah. And I'm really good at doing tax calculations. I can do computer programming. So I've got a logical mind. Yeah. But at school, you know, it was Red Eyes Comprehensive and they didn't teach you to add up.
Yeah, well, they didn't hold you back then. Well, didn't hold you back much.
No, I'm not even embarrassed about the fact I can't add up.
Yeah, brilliant.
That's what computers are for.
I feel like we're bonding more than ever now. I don't feel
you didn't know that, did you? You did not know that.
Fancy waiting till now to tell me this.
That's what calculators and spreadsheets are for, Dom.
Say again?
That's what spreadsheets and calculators are for.
True.
That's what they're for. They do all the mechanical calculations and I look at it and see the story and then see how it fits into people's lives and what the plan is and adapt it around that.
Yeah.
But I'm really good on the calculator.
Yeah.
So, I had to, when I worked at Ibbotson's, I used to work out how many pies they needed to bake to put on the vans and how many pounds of sausages to make to put on the vans. So you had to be really good on the adding machine to work out the conversion rates.
Uh-huh. I bet you did, yeah, brilliant. Ibbotson's just up the road from me as well, Tallbar Road, yeah.
Oh, that's right, yeah, you live right where.
But where did your career go after that then? What did you...
I stayed there for 4 years and then they got bought out and they were selling that factory bit. So I knew that we were going to be made redundant. So I put in for a job that I didn't think I could do, but I was desperate. So I put in for a job at the Sunderland Echo. So you'll know that name as well.
Yes.
So I went to work there. I managed to... Oh, no, it wasn't. It was Dunlop. It was Dunlop, which was next door to the Echo. And I put in that I could do wages and it was just an outright lie. I couldn't. But as soon as I came back from the interview, I got Carolyn in wages to show me how to do it. So, or it might have been before. And I just said to them, well, I've helped to do the wages, but I'm sure I could learn. That was my standard phrase at the time. Whatever it is, I can learn it. I was desperate for a job. And that was really good. I learned how to do spreadsheets there. And they were making pipes for places like Massey Ferguson and Ford, brake pipes and things like that. And I loved the job. I learned loads, but we had to do stock taking. Hated stock taking because you had to count all these pipes. Mm-hmm. Very boring. It's the worst part, I think, of being an accountant, having to do a stock take. That's why I like companies who don't carry stock.
Yeah, of course. So when did you get the itch to branch out on your own then?
Oh, I was 42 year old. And my husband at the time said I was too old, but I wouldn't listen. Mm-hmm. and it was because I wanted to grow my mind. I wanted some personal growth, and I couldn't get it in the job I was at. I was financial controller down at a lift company in Stockton, and it was a great job, you know, well paid, all the rest of it, but just no personal growth in my mind. I wasn't learning anything new. Everything became a routine. And I just thought, oh, there must be something better than this. And along the way, I'd found out I loved tax. So I used to get the auditor's tax calculations and work out how they'd done it, figure out why they'd applied certain rates to certain things. And then I thought, oh, that's what I want to do. I want to work in tax. But nobody would give me a job because I was on a decent salary. And I would have had to start at the bottom because I didn't have any tax training. So I thought, I've got to get out. I'll just set my own business up. And if that doesn't work, I'll just go and get another job in tax and my salary won't get in the way. But then I joined the Gordon's networking group, and that was it. I just loved it. I met loads of interesting people. I was getting new clients every week. I didn't have a clue about running a business. So that's one of my little side passions, helping other accountants set their business up and doing it properly from the beginning, getting there faster than I ever did. And just fumbled my way through building a business. And, you know, eventually I've made some progress, and we've got 246 clients now. It's 14 years to get there, but now I'm at the stage where I'm reshaping things so that we've got the right clients for us and we're a good match.
Yeah, cool. So has anything happened? Did anything happen to make you realise that? Or is this a gradual thing you want?
It was a gradual thing. The business bit, I think I realised that the night before I was going into hospital about 8 years ago, and I was busy doing emails when I really should have been writing my will.
Okay.
I just thought, I need to learn to delegate. So the last 8 years have been built on systems and processes and delegation, and I'm still working on it, but I've made quite a bit of progress.
No, you really have, yeah. So where does this kind of, the sort of, because this is something that I teach my guys, you know, about trying to build a business around the kind of life that you want to have. And, I've gone from doing like one thing to another thing to another thing, and you know, Alex works in the business, Beth's just left, she's joined and stuff. So I'm like yourself, I'm not there yet, but like I'm getting there all the time. And and I don't think a lot of people think like this, do they? You know, they don't think about the kind of life that they want to have. They're very much ruled by the business, you know. So
I know, you've got to start with what is it you want out of life, because life is the most important thing. It isn't work, it's life. And if all you do, and I know I say this as being a workaholic, but I fit it around my life, you know. I work different shifts so I can fit it around my life. And the people who work with me, they build their work around the life. If you just work and live into work, by the time you get to retire, you'll have not had any fun along the way. And life's to be enjoyed. It's a gift. You kind of just turn things away. So when people are asking me to do things, and I think, well, really, I should get on and do a bit of work, I sometimes go and do that and then do the work in the evening or at the weekend. So I can, you know, it's things with friends and family.
Yeah.
They are the most important thing, but you've just got to find a balance. And if you don't, I think you'd be lying on your deathbed going, oh, I really regret not doing more with my life. So it's all about identifying what your personal goals are.
Yeah. So where does that come from? Where does that come from with you? Have you had help, or have you read books?
No, I should have gotten some help. I should have gone to somebody like you, Dom.
Yeah. But I'm curious though. Do you know what I mean?
I have had a few coaches along the way, and I really wish I'd learnt about mentors and coaches early on, because if I'd had one from day one, I would have gotten there a lot faster. I don't regret where I'm at, because I'm getting to a good place, and it's been a windy road, which is really how most people. But if somebody's starting off, my point would be, talk to somebody who does it. Get yourself a mentor or somebody who can help you to find the right answers. And sometimes you really do just have to go through it to find out what you like and what you don't like. But one of the things, if we take somebody on, I'm always asking them questions. The girls laugh at me because I'll say things like, are you married? Have you got any children? And things like that. Because you need to know what's the whole setting. And what is it that they're interested in? Some people are interested in retiring early. Some people are interested in leaving a legacy. And some people just really don't know. So it might take a few goes to actually get to where you want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Takes a few goes, takes a few times, I think, asking yourself those kinds of questions just to get the answers, doesn't it? You know, because not enough people really stop and ask themselves any of those kind of questions, do they really?
Well, I had to reinvent myself because one of my goals early on in my life, I used to do a review every Christmas because we used to be off work when I had a proper job.
Happy days.
So every year I used to think, right, what are my goals for next year? What am I going to do? And then, of course, I got to 40. I got the salary I wanted. I'd done the exams that I wanted. And it's quite a desolate place when you actually achieve all the things that you're set out to achieve and you haven't got anything to look forward to. Mm. Everybody thinks when you get through that list that you'll be happy. Mm. It isn't. It's like the rainbow. When you get to the end of it, there isn't that pot of gold. The journey's the good thing. So that's why you've got to have a good journey along the way and not just think it's all... If you put things on hold on your life, say you wanted to travel the world. Obviously, you can't at the moment. But if your dream was to travel the world, you can't wait until you retire to do it. You need to find a way to weave it in.
Yes.
And find a way of combining your work goals and your personal goals so you can actually enjoy that journey.
Yeah. And once you, like, somebody listening to this now, they might think, it was like what you said, like at the end of a rainbow, like a pipe dream type thing. But I always find it's incredible. Once you get clear about that, so like what you just said there, if your goal was to travel the world.
You could work while you're traveling.
Yeah, you could work while you're traveling. But then your brain, you know, once you decide
that. Thinking about it.
It does, doesn't it? You know, and then connections start.
And then things happen.
It's incredible, isn't it? How things sometimes it can run away, you know, and you're like, oh God, I wasn't quite ready for it, but then
well, it's funny you should say that, Dom, because whenever I'm thinking about wanting something, I'll not connect with it if I think I don't want it to happen yet. Because truly, the minute you start looking at things, say you started looking at which countries you were going to visit, it's amazing how you would end up, something would just come into your inbox or something like that, or you'd say something on Facebook and it would be this trip of a lifetime where you'd be going, oh, I've got to do it. And then everything shifts and you've got to move fast to make it happen because it's presented in front of you. That's happened to me loads of times, seriously. So that's why... If I wanted a new car, for example, I wouldn't start going looking at the cars because I know I'd find one and I would have to have it. And then I would have to find a way to get it. So I don't go looking for things until I know that's what I really want and it fits with all the other goals.
Yeah. The mind is a powerful thing. Isn't it? Earl Nightingale said, you are what you think about. And it's really true. You know, you are.
Very true. Very true. I remember one of my clients had dropped some books off at my home. And I said, I'll have to employ somebody. I was getting to that point early on in the business. And he says, I'll just put an advert in the Echo. You know, you used to work there. You must know somebody. I went, oh, no, that's not how it works. I says, I just start thinking I need to employ somebody. And somebody will just come across in my life. and they'll just be the perfect fit and I'll take them on. And sure enough, that's what happened.
Yeah, no, that's true, yeah. And that's it. Exactly the same thing has happened. I've never really, verbalised it the way that you have there, but that it's really true. I say this to my guys when they expand and, you know, and I say, start looking now, you know, and I don't mean like what you said, you just open your mind to it because everybody who's worked for me, apart from Alex, who's my son, so he didn't really come, but everybody was...
he was forced into it.
I've literally just like found them, do you know what I mean? They've just come from... friends.
It's when you have a passion for something, when you start looking into things and more things happen from it. And it's an amazing world. But you have to just not limit yourself by your mind. So you just let your dreams go big and then work on, well, how could you do it? If you think about people who've done amazing things, you have a look how they've done it. They weren't amazing people. Mm. They just had an amazing dream.
That's right.
And then they found a way to do it. And that's, you just read up on it. So if you want to be an astronaut, you at a very young age, you would start reading about how you become an astronaut. Mm. And then your life gets mapped that way because you start doing, you might have to do physics and things like that. And you would map it. So the earlier you dream big, the better.
Yeah, it's right. Just as some of the guys who were listening to this, they'll know about this already, but the big thing that's happened with us recently is Beth leaving her job and joining the business, you know. And
I know.
I think it was maybe about this time last year, really. I think I came to see you and we were going through my VAT stuff and different things. And we were just chatting, weren't we? You know, and I said, this is what
that
I want.
That was me asking you about what your life things were, what your goals were.
Yeah. And me saying, well, this is what I really want. And then boom, like 6 months later.
And then it started happening, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. Yeah. Just like a little catalyst, isn't it, for it?
It is. Because you were on the thing, oh, well, we can't do it till the money's right and you can't do this and you can't do that. And then once we started talking about it, it was, well, how would you make it happen? What are the things you need to do in place? Ooh. And then you start putting them in place and then things start to come together. And then a year later, you've been able to do it.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
great, isn't it? Because
yeah.
that you end up with a better life.
100%, yeah, 100%. So, dreaming big and having clear goals and everything is all well and good.
And it's a big part. Yes, because it doesn't just happen on its own.
No, it doesn't. No, but money worries get in the way of a lot of people's everything, don't they? Really,
having a lack of money can be a thing that gets in the way. But if you start looking at, for example, if you do a personal budget and you really are tough, you'll find, do I really need Sky? Do I really need the latest iPhone every year? And if you ever watch any of the programs about people who are trying to pay their mortgage off quickly, they go through it and they go back to the bare minimum of what they need to live on. And all the money that they're spending on Sky and all the other luxury items that they consider to be, I must have it, but you don't. It's what are your priorities? And if you can put your priorities on your money, you can do whatever you want because people have paid off their mortgage 10 years earlier because that was their goal. I gave up my goal of paying off the mortgage earlier because I set up my business. I wanted a better life. Because what was the point of having a house that was paid for if I didn't enjoy going to work, if I didn't have enough time to go and see my friends? Money isn't the answer. It's just an enabler. Mm. And I think you have to go through and be honest because some people will just ignore their bank statements. They won't do any budgets. They think, I'm no good with numbers. I can't do numbers. You can get help. You can get spreadsheets. You can get templates. You can use a family member to help you. Even sometimes the bank help you or citizens advice. If you're in a desperate state, somebody will help you. Mm. But if you are just lacking motivation, then you've got to find your motivating thing to get you to do it. And your first step is to do a budget. What money have you got coming in? And what money have you going out? And out the things that are going out, what do you really need? Mm. And is that more important than the other goals that you have? Mm. So, you know, this year, because, you know, everybody thinks accountants are rich. Well, a lot of them are not. So this year, I was getting close on my mortgage. I had a mortgage with Santander. Wow. And strangely enough, I thought, well, I've had a really good record with Santander. They'll give me another product. It'll be fine. No, they'd moved the rules. I've got my name on my mum and dad's deeds. So because I had another house, they were classing all the costs from that as part of my outgoings. Well, I don't pay a penny towards my mum and dad's house. My dad pays for it. So they wouldn't let me have a mortgage. I had to go around and get a new mortgage. Wow. And because I didn't have the high earnings that I used to have in my previous job, we were scrapping around trying to get a new mortgage. I managed to get it before the mortgage ran out and they repossessed my house.
Well, that's good.
the options I was looking at, do I downsize and get a flat?
Yeah.
Anyway, the cost of like renting a flat or buying a flat outright, it wasn't much different from what I would pay for a new mortgage. But the only downside is I have to wait till I'm 70.
Right.
I'm not bothered. I've got a lovely place to live.
Yeah.
And I think, if I put my mind to it, I maybe get the mortgage finished when I'm 62 or something like that.
Yeah.
If that becomes my main focus.
Yes.
But my main focus is to build a better business and have a bit more time where I'm not working as many hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's the thing about just getting the priorities on a personal budget.
Yeah. What would you say some really common mistakes are for business owners, small business owners?
I did a list yesterday for another project. I thought I was going to write five.
Hey, I could have done your list.
I was going to write five down. Actually, here, I have it handy. I'm going to have a little look at it. Can we talk about limited companies? Because that was the project I was working on. But some of it, you know, applies to sole traders as well. Honestly, my pen just went wild yesterday. I was going to write five things down because the question was, what were the five top things are? Anyway, the first thing is the bank account. Mm-hmm. So, and this applies whether you're a sole trader or a limited company, you need to have a bank account for the business. For a sole trader, you can use a personal bank account, but it needs to be separate from your personal day-to-day living stuff. Otherwise, there's a few issues about it. If you had a tax inquiry, if you're giving your stuff to an accountant to analyse, if you have to do any analysis on it, if you've got your business trading stuff in with your private stuff, you've got to analyse twice as much data to get to the answer. So if you separate it off, and I would also say if you've got properties, have that in yet another account, because that's a different type of income. You don't pay any national insurance on it, so you want that separate as well. Top tip there. Yeah, pass that one to Beth.
I will.
The other big thing is people don't always claim all the tax relief for expenses that they are entitled to. Mileage is a big thing. People don't put their mileage in. If you go to the bank, you go to the cash and carry to buy something for your business, you go to the stationeries, you go to the bank, go to see the accountant. All of those are business mileage. And it's a tricky area, I agree, but there's loads of stuff on. A lot of people don't either set up a system to manage their accounts, or they don't engage an accountant early enough. So they'll wait for the deadline. And then, so they're already under pressure because it's a deadline. Then they're under pressure because they start doing it and realize it's not as easy as they thought it was. Honestly, do not pay any attention to the QuickBooks advert, which says it's easy. It's just pressing a few buttons, because it's not. Would you agree, Dom?
I would agree, yeah.
Get an expert to set it up and then get them to teach you how to do it. And then it's easy. What's the other things I've got in here? Oh, yes, the other thing is they don't keep an eye on the level for the VAT threshold. Mm-hmm. And then if you're doing your accounts late, you're already late for registration. So that's another big thing.
That was a mistake for me.
I wasn't going to say anything.
No, but it was, yeah.
It catches you out.
I mean, we got through it, but
if you could go back in your time machine, you would set some systems in place to measure it. You would say, right, that, because that was too stressful.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
For you and me both, that was too stressful, but we got there.
Yeah, we did.
And it's fine now.
We avoided a lot of hassle, couldn't we?
Yeah. You need to know a year in advance if you're going to become VAT registered. Mm-hmm. So you need to measure your turnover from day one, really.
And
people often...
Creep up on you
Does creep up on you. I'll tell you why it creeps up on you, because you're very busy with the business. Yeah. If you jump from taking $5,000 a month and then you jump up to, what's it, Dom, you'll have to do the calculation, you know I'm no good at it, 85 divided by 12.
85 divided by 12, here we go, I've got a calculator right here.
Mine's over the other end of the table, I can't reach it.
7,083 quid.
Right, so you can soon jump up to that. If you're doing $5,000, $6,000, it might peak $8,000 one month, it might peak $10,000, and you're really busy working on the business, trying to make sure your customer needs are met, mm-hmm. you forget to look at the levels. And then you go to see the accountant, and you might not go for 6 months after your year end. And then it's like, then the accountant has it's awful news to say, I'm sorry, but you went over the VAT registration threshold. And then you've got to fix it. But some people, if they're doing their own, they wouldn't know until they do. They might not even realise. They might put the tax return in and put on their tax return they had £90,000 turnover. And then it's HMRC. You come looking to say you didn't register for VAT and you should have. And then you've got penalties and all the rest of it. Yeah. You didn't get any penalties because we did it all and caught it all up.
We did, yeah.
So you didn't get any penalties at all, and HMRC were very appreciative that it was done and done quickly. We turned around really quickly, didn't we?
Yeah.
And that's another testament, if you're working with an accountant, being able to respond quickly, because you've got us in and got it all sorted. Yeah. And that's the way to do it. But yeah, you've got to measure your turnover. And turnover, the other thing, that common thing that goes wrong is, you know, if you're selling through PayPal or somewhere like that, they'll take fees off before you get your money. So somebody might put 5,000, but actually they've incurred £500 worth of fees.
Yeah.
And so they're counting 5,000 and it should be 5,500.
Yeah, yeah.
And that catches a lot of people out as well. What's the other things? I've had some people trying to do a set of limited company accounts with no accounts training whatsoever. And honestly, just don't.
Yeah.
Try and get them done for 1 year and then copy. Mm-hmm. But don't attempt the first lot on your own. There's accounting standards for limited companies, and you know, it took a lot of years to learn how to do them. Mm-hmm. So you'll not learn them in 3 months.
No, you can
copy, though. You know, you can copy. The other thing.
Have you looked for an accountant, Lorraine? Because I feel very lucky that I found you.
You were very lucky, Dom. Definitely very lucky.
I'm pleased I said that before you did. no, but, you know, like, we've, you know, right from, well, I think I was about a year or two in, I think, when I found you. But what should people be looking for, you know? Because you've helped me right along the journey.
Yeah. I feel sorry for anybody who has to go looking for an accountant, because there's a mixed bag of grades. You want somebody, I would probably say somebody who, even though you'd probably tick me off the list because I don't do this, but people who are promoting on LinkedIn and Facebook with helpful articles. I'm too busy helping my clients to post. But some people who do that, they've got the business sorted, and they do all the postings, you know, and helpful advice. We tend to do tailored things. Where people would find them, it's really difficult. Really difficult. Probably what I would say is look at QuickBooks, find an accountant, because people on there know how to use QuickBooks. Probably Xero have the same. If people have got a NatWest account, there's a free product for business accounts called Free Agent. There's a lot of people who can do Free Agent. The software's free, which comes with the business account. And if you get some, and it's a nice simple package to use. The QuickBooks has got lots more bells and whistles, but the Free Agent is really good. And particularly if you're doing your own, bookkeeping, it's a good product to have. Have a look at somebody, search on Facebook or LinkedIn for somebody who does those products, or join the user groups and see who posts on those. Look at the conversations on LinkedIn and Facebook, who's having conversations about, you know, how to handle things. But yes, I think it's just, honestly, it's potluck. But some of the things are, you need to go armed with what is it you need. So you need to do a bit of research. What is it that you need from an accountant? Because it's like going to buy something on the Apple store. It's what size memory do you want and all the rest of it. There's loads of choices. So, for example, there are things like, do you want them to do your bookkeeping for you, or are you going to do it yourself? Or do you want to do your own bookkeeping but have some supervision? Do you want somebody to do a bank reconciliation? And a lot of people don't know what a bank reconciliation is, but that's where you're comparing your bank statement balance with your bookkeeping records. And it's a good way to make sure you've entered everything. So, you know, gaps along the way are, people wouldn't put the interest in, they wouldn't put the bank charges in. They would forget to include some income, or they'd forget to include, and so it wouldn't be fully, you know, so it's a control check. So bank reconciliations, you can't, QuickBooks, for example, have videos and they teach you how to do it. So everything's there on YouTube to show you how to do these things. And they've got training sessions going on and everything. But you could have a look at finding, you know, somebody who can do your bank recs for you. what we do is we say to people, come on for 90 days, we'll set it all up for you, we'll do the bank break, and then we'll teach you how to do it. So you can have a hybrid where you get somebody to set it up and then you take over it. The other thing you need, if you've got a limited company, you need year-end accounts. If you're a sole trader, you still need trading accounts, but they're less onerous. You haven't got to do all the accounting standards for them. Mm-hmm. And then your tax return. Some people will say to them, your tax return's dead straightforward. We can teach you how to do it. And you can just come back if you've got changes. And these are people who are just starting out, they haven't got much money, we'll just give them some guidance. If you've got a limited company and you've got multiple business things going on, you've got payroll, you've got employees, you really need a proper tax review to make sure you're tax efficient. Because you might want to do dividends and salary, you might want to put into a pension fund. So you really need some guidance. Otherwise, you know, if you miss the deadline, it's too late. You can't backdate some things.
Yeah.
The other thing is, if you've got a limited company, you need company secretarial stuff doing. Some of it you can do yourself. If you're prepared to sit and read Companies House website and the instructions. But really, my point would be, well, shouldn't you be working on your own business? Using an expert to do it and go and practice on your business. Go and get more customers and do what you love doing, because it would take you 6 hours to do it. It'd take us an hour.
Yeah.
So you might think, oh, well, you know, I can do it myself cheaper. Yeah, yeah, you might. But what business are you losing by doing it yourself?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a bit of, you can employ a chartered company secretary to do the work, but they are expensive and the small businesses don't usually need that level of expertise. However, if one of your fan base has got, say, 30 separate limited companies with properties in, you know, sometimes people use those, they would need a chartered secretary to do that work, because you've got so many deadlines and things.
Yeah.
But if you've just got one limited company, you just need your company's house filing and your board meetings and your dividend. Yeah. And we use software to do it now. We've actually improved our efficiency.
Yeah. You're big on that now. I've got an ambulance going past. That's what that noise is.
Oh,
it's not an ice cream van.
I've got a little note on the doorbell saying, webinar in progress, please don't ring the bell.
You put a big sign in the middle of the village green, tell everybody to shut up. Is there a good time? And I know some people like love their number, their figures, and they're great. They love doing it themselves and stuff. I've never been like that. And way more, especially, I certainly didn't want to do anything until Beth came in. So you guys do almost everything, and we gradually...
We'll gradually be handing it back over, which we love. We love owners to be in charge.
Yeah. Is there like a growth point where you really should be thinking about getting an accountant if you haven't got one? Or because to me, it's just, I've just thought, well, it's tax deductible anyway, so I don't have to.
It's tax deductible. Sometimes when you start now, if you're doing it on a shoestring, you really can't afford anybody.
Yes.
You know, and if you're setting up as a sole trader and you're doing it yourself, take one of your dog walking businesses. They're setting up, they don't know how many customers they're going to get. As long as they keep a good note of what they're doing, and as I say, tip number one, get a bank account. So, and try and get your customers to pay in the bank account, or if they pay you cash, go and bank it. You know, I don't recommend cash at all. And COVID backed me on that.
Mm-hmm.
Mustn't use cash. But yes, they don't specifically, unless they've got some complications. And the things that I would add as a complication is, if you make a lot of losses in the first year, you would want to get some tax back. So you can get tax back even though you haven't made a profit. So if you go from, say you go from a decent paid job and you've paid tax in your job, and you leave your job at Christmas because you've really had enough and you can't face another year because it doesn't map with your life goals. So you decide you're going to set up a dog walking business and you start in January. You probably pay out more than you take in the first quarter, because there's a lot of things, you know, if you're setting up a website or...
Yeah, all that kind of thing. You know, yeah.
There's all sorts of things. And you might be able to then get some tax back So that in itself might pay for the accountant. Mm-hmm. And you've got some extra money in you, you know, and particularly somebody who maybe's paid high rate of tax. Mm-hmm. And the quicker you get it done, the quicker you get your money. Because if you're waiting for HMRC to say, oh, you need a refund because you've paid too much tax, you'll be waiting until October. Mm-hmm. So the best time would be look at your position as soon as the 5th of April comes. And you can quite often just ask an accountant or ask somebody who has an accountant, can you ask the question as to whether you need to get some advice. If you buy an equipment, for example, capital allowances are quite complicated. So say you bought a van because, you know, you want something to take the dogs in. You bought a van, you maybe paid $5,000 for your van. You've paid out for a website. You've paid out for some marketing stuff. You really need to capitalise on that and get your money back. And there's ways of getting it back if you've paid tax. If you hadn't paid tax, you can go back possibly 3 years, I think it is, and get some tax back from then as well. So loss relief is a good one as to why you might want somebody when you first start. And most accountants, to be honest, we don't do a lot of free meetings. But what I'll say is, if you tell me your question, I'll answer it if I can and point you in the right direction, give you the links for HMRC, have a look at these videos, because there's so much out there, it's known what you need. So if I've got a question, I would just say, we wouldn't take you on as a client, or you don't need us yet, here's where you need to look. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the thing is, just recording what money you've got coming in, what money you've spent, and then get some expert help to work out whether you need an accountant or not. Mm. And, you know, some of the accountants are, you know, they'll only take people on who work on Xero or Sage or QuickBooks.
Like yourself,
we only do QuickBooks.
Yeah, that's why I'm on it.
Might at some point bring a free agent on. I haven't decided yet. I'm just thinking about it at the moment.
You stay exclusive.
For I love QuickBooks, as you know.
You mentioned COVID there. What and we chatted briefly before we started the interview, and we said like some businesses, industries, sectors
absolutely.
Of industry even have just like, you know, they've been annihilated, haven't they, at the moment.
Uh-huh.
Putting them to one side for a second, what kind of sort of holes would you say has something like COVID exposed in businesses?
Fundamental weaknesses. Mm. And it's exposed those who didn't keep up to date accounts because they didn't know where they were at. Mm. They didn't know how much money they owed out. They expected their revenue streams to continue but hadn't risk assessed it. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you might have loads of money coming in, but then you've gone and spent it on, like, you know, 3 holiday trips and you've not saved anything for your tax. So you've had a lovely vacation, which obviously you might be quite pleased at because we can't get away now. But if you spent that money, but you hadn't put your money away for tax, then you've got another problem just looming in the background. And you could have this thing where your income's disappeared, but you've still got a high tax bill to pay and you've got no money coming in. And the money you did have coming in that was meant to cover it was spent on other things. You might be getting something done at home, you know, an extension or something. So that's really brought home, you really do need to have up-to-date accounts. Mm-hmm. The other thing was that people were reliant upon one income stream and no money in the bank, no savings to ride out the rough times. So it's quite heartbreaking, but that they're the things that it's bringing out. But it's also brought out the flair in some of the entrepreneurs, and they've gone from, oh God, I've got no income coming in, what can I do? And they've just created this new business income stream. And I've been fascinated by the ideas and the success of them. Mm. And
are there any examples or not?
I haven't got permission to share it, but I'm going to because he's all over the Facebook and everything. But Mark Deeks, the piano guy, he did a lot of, he did a community singing group, which was bringing a whole load of people together to sing community songs, which was doing great. It was one of his initiatives 2 years ago, I think. So he was doing all these community things. Well, obviously, nobody was allowed to gather and stand next to each other and create beautiful harmony. So that was knocked on the head. And he also, he used to do weddings, music for weddings. Obviously, they were all cancelled, weren't they? So he couldn't do any of them either. Mm-hmm. So he was facing this bleak future of nothing. And then he set up these pop-up piano evenings. So Friday, and I went to one of them. It was great because I wanted to see what was going on. And he was doing personal requests. It was over Zoom. He's got the camera. He's got the dog. He's got a lovely dog. He has. He was just doing tunes that people, you know, it was like requests. Mm. And it was great. And you know, it was £5 a go to enter. And people were going as families. So they were sitting there having a cup of tea or the glass of wine and having a bit of music and getting their requests paid on a Friday night. And I just thought, wow, that's brilliant. So, you know, he created a new income stream. And it's gone from that place of like, oh my God, what am I going to do? To like, oh yeah, I can do something. Even though I normally just do live things, I found something to do off the internet. And you've seen examples of it on the news where people
have done
great things, you know. They've had bands playing and all sorts. It's been great. Mm-hmm. I think it's been a good thing to bring communities together.
Yeah, agreed, yeah. Definitely done that with my community as well, I think, yeah, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's interesting that what you say, because there's two things that I've learned and seen as well. What you talk about, the first thing that you mentioned about, like, you know, not taking into account the fact that you might lose an income stream. Do you know what I mean? Or not taking into account the fact that bad things might happen and not having that like buffer. You know, that was one thing that I was aware of straight away. And we've got this like buffer now, so I feel loads better like about that.
But it makes you feel more confident, doesn't it? Because you know you've got a backup plan. So it's a disaster recovery plan. That's what it is.
It is, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
The other thing I would say as well is I see a lot of people setting up a sole trader or a limited company and they are the business. You know, when you start out, it's normally you are the business. And if you can't work, you've got no income. So you need something like an insurance policy that pays out for illness. So if you're ill, you get a payout. Mm. And I honestly, because the government won't give you any sick pay if you're a sole trader. Mm-hmm. So you've got literally no income and you're relying upon your family and friends and you've got to hope that your house isn't going to be taken away from you. Mm-hmm. So my biggest thing, in addition to, it's probably more important than the bank account really, but you know, from my point of view, the bank account's more important, but really for your own protection, you need to have some way of being paid if you fall ill for any reason. And then obviously tied in with that would be life insurance. So if, you know, if anything awful happens to you, your dependents have got some money to get them through if you're the main earner. So that they're not worrying about how do I pay the mortgage or the rent or whatever.
They are,
you know, and you've got to do some risk analysis of where you are and your money coming in, money going out, and what would happen if that money didn't come in, but you still had to pay the money out. Mm-hmm. And if you don't start it, people say, oh, I can't afford it. But can you afford not to?
Yeah.
And I think the lockdown and everything and the lack of income coming in for some people has been a real wake-up call. And I think people will now take a bit more notice that they need to build some resilience into their business from day one, and you can't wait until it's successful. You have to do it from the beginning.
No, you can't. You'll always, it's so easy. I've said it in the past where you've been like, oh well, if only I was doing another £1,000 a month or something, then I would be so much
then
easier.
I'll do it.
Yeah, you know, we've all said
then
it.
I'll do it. Then I can afford it.
It never comes, does it? That day, like, no, never comes. So to come full circle, because you've touched on a lot of really good points there, Lorraine, and given some really quite specific advice, just to make it a more, like, general tie back to what we were talking about at the start, I think a big thing that I've improved with, really, I've had to, but, like, over the last, like, year, is like my mindset about the money and stuff, you know. So I'm still not, I'm not a very numbers kind of guy. Do you know what I mean? Like they don't scare me as much as they used to. but like knowing, you know, like everything that comes into the business now, you know, something we take a percentage goes straight away. Do you know what I mean? Like for the tax, and the percentage goes straight away for
the saving.
Yeah, and a bit of savings and the profit and the wealth or whatever, and like a bit of giving and all that. And it's, I feel better. I genuinely feel better about money than I have done for like 20 years, like my whole life even, you know what I mean?
It's a great feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's because you're in control of it.
Yes.
And what we say is, if you know your numbers, and it's getting over that fear thing, knowing your numbers means you can go to sleep on a night without that, you know, that thought at the back of your head, that little black cloud that sometimes pops up and you start thinking, oh, well, what if, and I don't know where I'm at. If you know your numbers, you really do have control over your business and your life. Mm. And the only way to do it is to have a way of recording it and a way to understand it. So that's where accountants can come in as well. Because if you run the report, and we always say to people, can I sit and go through the figures with you, and then we'll put little tips like, this is how much you should be saving for your tax. Mm-hmm. And with people who have limited companies, we'll say, right, let's have a plan for next year. What's it going to look like? And this is because I am a management accountant. Mm-hmm. A lot of accountants are chartered accountants or certified accountants, and they are just trained to report on historical stuff. So if you're saying what should people look for somebody who understands management accounts, because they're the ones who are looking forward. Mm-hmm. It's you know, you'll do the history as a starting point, but you look forward and say, right, where's it going to be? Where are the risk areas? What do you need to be doing for savings going forward and working out these ratios? But it brings confidence. Mm. And the aim should always be to build a resilient business that supports your goals in your personal life. And you kind of separate the two, in my mind. Mm-hmm. Not until you've got to that point where you've handed the reins over to somebody else and you're just an investor.
Yeah.
And then you're not needed. They're running it. And then you don't need to worry about it. Mm-hmm. Well, you do, because it might not be as good as you. Definitely. So you'd have to make sure that you'd have reporting things.
No, it does. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Peace of mind is really the ultimate goal, because the worry niggles away at the back of your mind and stops you from really fully enjoying your life.
Yeah, yeah. And stops you from doing what you're good at in your business, doesn't it? You know, and you're operating from a place of fear, and, you know, it's it's not a nice place to be at all.
One of our biggest challenges is helping people to remove the fear, because they'll come and say, I don't want to look at the numbers, I don't want to know anything about it. Just work it out and tell us how much it is. Mm. So we have to tease it and just say right, and just do it little by little, because I had one lady and she was absolutely terrified of the numbers. And bit by bit, we've getting that, and she now does her own bookkeeping. Mm. She now understands her profit and loss. And she now knows how much money to put away from the tax. And I say that is like a big success from our point of view, because I know she's got confidence in the numbers and she's in control of it. Mm. She's not waiting for us to tell us the answer, to tell her the answer.
Independence too, wasn't she, really? You know.
It is. It's independence. It's control. It's peace of mind. And you can sleep on a night. And even, can I just say though, even if the figures are bad, if you lost Megan, still good to be in control, because one of the things we helped a client, and we had to get the liquidators involved and liquidate the company, and this was all should come in from another accountant, and there'd been none of this look forward and match things up and whatever, and unfortunately she had to close the business down, and it's very traumatic, it is, but we've helped her to build a new business. And she's got more confidence. She understands a bit better about the numbers. And she's now got a better business model. So she's not going to be ever in that position ever again. But because she had us involved, we were able to make the process a lot smoother. And I can't publicise the recording that we did, because it's too raw and it's got too much personal stuff in it. Basically. the thing I was focused on was gentle tidbits of what's coming, because if you throw somebody in at the deep end, they just freak out with it, and handling it so that it's all a control process and she comes out a bit the other end in a better place. And now she says, I know now what you didn't tell me at the time you told me, because you didn't want me to go over the edge, because we're looking after people's mental well-being.
Yeah.
And if you scare somebody too much, then they can't answer the questions that need dealing with today, because they're just in a place of unable to cope. So we just do it little bit by little bit, manageable chunks, which is how, you know, if you've ever had to face something overwhelming, you just break it down into little, what must I do today?
Right, yeah.
And if you've got somebody there to help you, and I've done the same myself. I've had my friend come over and said, it was Joy, I've got too much on my plate. I have no idea where to start. I've got 50 million things to do. Please come and help us write my list. So she came over and we sat and we wrote the list. And the first thing on the list, she says, how long did that take you? And I went, about a minute. She went, why don't you just go and do it? And it's just having somebody there, which is the thing about the mentor groups that you run.
Yeah.
It's about having somebody, you know yourself what you need to do, but sometimes it can be overwhelming. So if you've got somebody, or you're part of one of the mastermind groups or something like that, you've got somebody there who can just help you remove all that overwhelming feeling and help you to actually achieve things. So, you know, nobody is immune from it. Nobody. Mm. You always look at somebody else and you think, oh, they've got a crack, they've got a big business and all the rest of it. They're just different problems.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
So you know yourself trying to juggle all the deadlines and things like that.
Yeah. It is. It really is. But I'm glad I got you on the journey with us, Ducky. I really am.
Absolutely. Yeah. You eventually came in and said, "Oh, I don't understand the numbers at all." And it's like, "Oh, great. Well, we can help you."
Yeah. Bloody hell, spells. Yeah. Blood.
Do you think I should give people a test as well to see if we can add up?
Yeah, definitely.
I would be able to measure how much help they need, because it's difficult to determine whether somebody needs a lot of help or a little bit of help. And you see people who are confident and you think, oh yeah, they've got a crack. And then later you find out, oh, actually, they could have done with a bit more help.
Certainly for me anyway, you know, because I am naturally quite confident with most things, you know what I mean? And I'm even things that I've never done before, I'll be quite confident to have a go of. But that was just like a blocker, you know what I mean? I couldn't.
So I look for that in other people now, Dom. I look for that in other people.
Yeah.
So when they say they've done stuff or whatever, I actually go and check it because people will say, I've done this, and they'll say, I've done the bank rec. And then when I go on it, I just think, well, yeah, you've ticked a few things off and said it matched, but it doesn't match. There's all them things that haven't been matched and we have to deal with them. And it's just, you know, we have ways of checking to make sure things are done right. And that's why we've started saying to people, you've got to take our supervisory service because that's the only way we can look after you.
If we
wait until the end of the year and you've just got the annual service, it really doesn't work. So that's the thing I would say I've learned lately. You know, you try to help people by helping them to reduce the fees, by having less services, but it comes back to bite you. So we now just say, if you want us, you've got to take the full package type thing because it's in your best interests.
Yeah.
And then when we've tested you and we know that you can do the bits, we'll hand them back to you bit by bit under supervision. So your fees do come down because we've got you doing it.
Yeah,
and if we come across a big
you'll be able to give them a better service then, aren't you? You know.
So
right, brilliant, Lorraine, absolutely fantastic. I've really enjoyed this. Absolutely flown over. Christ, we're needed an hour already.
My goodness.
I know. I don't even know if you're fishing around for clients anymore. But where can people go to find out more about you and what you do?
Well, we've got our website, which, you know, does need a bit of a refresh, but it's there. You know, it gives you a bit of a flavour of what we're like. So that's simply-additions.com. We've got some reviews on QuickBooks. So it's Find an Accountant. You'd have to do the DH4 postcode. We're at the top of the list with the 5 stars. Mm-hmm. I should ask for some more testimonials, but I've been a bit busy. And the sort of people we do like to work with are people who are engaged in the business. We're not bothered whether they can add up or not. Mm-hmm. But they need to be digitally enabled. And can I just say that all that means is I can guide them through on Zoom. We get the app on the phone and I show them how to work the app. And it's literally just taking a photograph with the app.
Yeah.
And now we've got Beth on the case. She's the one doing the photograph and the receipts.
This is true, and it's getting done a lot more efficiently.
So and then the other thing is, because if I say to somebody, go and link your bank to QuickBooks, they'll just say, well, I don't know what to do. So we always do it with a Zoom session. And I'm point here, click there, do that, put this in. And so we get them up and running and we do the hand holding. But yeah, we like to work, predominantly we work with limited companies, but we will work with sole traders who are active. So not somebody who's just doing it as a side hustle and not really engaged in trying to grow their business. So, you know, and we, I don't know whether I should say this, but we don't like people who do deal in a lot of cash.
Yeah.
You can't control it. You can't see the cash. Mm. I have probably got one who will do it properly, but we've actually evicted some clients who took cash and wouldn't record the cash. Or they would just shove it in the till and then they would spend it on things, but they wouldn't keep the receipts. So we, you know, and at the end of the year, it would be $3,000 out. Well, they could have had receipts that they should have put in, but didn't, and ended up paying more tax. So we couldn't help them properly. Long story, but yes, we asked them to leave.
So what was the website then, Lorraine?
www.simply-additions.com.
Fantastic. And thanks so much, Lorraine, for the chat again. This is brilliant. I've learned lots as always. I think we mentioned this a while ago. I think we'll get you when you're next month or the month after or something like that. We might do a Q&A maybe, eh? We might do a Q&A.
Oh, I love Q&As.
Q&A maybe in the PBIC. That would be good, yeah.
If you get the questions in advance, I can even give a better answer because I can do a bit of research.
Superb. We'll do that, yeah. Brilliant. Well, thanks so much, Lorraine. That's been absolutely fantastic.
It's been lovely to talk to you, Tom.
No worries. See you again. Bye for now.
Bye.